at serving for the Lord. And I'm hoping that it's causing all of us to look within ourselves to see how we can better be servants of the Most High God. Today we are planning to have a combined Bible class, and it will focus on the information in this Thrivers Pack. And I'm hoping that each one of us has one, but if not, you can get one of these for $5. And it has a wealth of information that can be used in our efforts to each reach and teach. And so Brother Keith James is going to expose us to the contents and how we can utilize this book on this morning. And we're looking forward to that. And because of that, I want to be as expeditious as I possibly can as we share the message on this morning. So let us go to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts, the 16th chapter. And looking at verses 16 through verse 18. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Verse number 17 is where I would like to emphasize our text, where this damsel with the spirit of divination cries out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Showing the way of salvation. Showing the way of salvation. If I could surmise this text, because I want to be as expeditious as I can, in this text, the Holy Spirit, by inspiration, reveals a proclamation by a damsel with the spirit of divination to help us understand our obligation as it relates to the message of salvation. You knew I was going. Now, I know that I'm not a rapper, but if I were, I thought I said something. This text, by inspiration, reveals a proclamation by a damsel with the spirit of divination to help us understand our obligation as it relates to the message of salvation. Now, that's not going into every inch of this text, but that's a summation. I'm sorry, I just keep doing it. Luke the physician who desired to give a treatise of all that Jesus began to do and to teach in this sacred and single historical book of the New Testament reveals at least two truths that I want to highlight this morning in this lesson. First of all, he shows us that there is a way of salvation. And then it also reveals to us that the servants of God must show the way. I want to just hinge on those two truths. I know there's many more we can pull out of here, but we're just going to look at these two, that there is a way of salvation. And I know that there are some who would look at this particular text and who are in the academic realm, and they see, well, it's this woman who says that there is a way of salvation. But I want you to know that no matter what the woman says, God, through inspiration, uses Luke to record this proclamation to give to us our obligation as it relates to salvation. Watch what he says now. She said, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they show to us the way of salvation. Now, I think we need to have some terms defined. When we talk about the way of salvation, we're talking about a road. We're talking about a path. We're talking about the method or the manner of obtaining. There is a method. There is a manner. There is a path. There is a road that leads to salvation. Jeremiah confirmed that there is a way when he says in Jeremiah 6 and verse number 16, he says, stand ye in the ways. Put it up on the board. The Lord says, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now Jeremiah says, stand in the ways and look for a way, the good way, where and walk in it. In other words, there are a lot of ways that exist. But there is only one that is a good way. There is only one where you can find rest for your soul. There is only one that we are to walk in. And I want us to see what that way is. Jesus challenged his disciples in Matthew 17 and verse number 13 through 14. I want you to get that and put that up on the board. Jesus in Matthew 7, and verse number 13, where he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. But then he says in verse number 14, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life, and there be few that find it. In the plethora of ways, Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, because you want to make sure that you don't find yourself in a broad way where many are. Because that way leads to
destruction. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, because narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few. There are few there be that find it. There is a way. It's a good way. It's a way to life. It's a way that you'll have rest to your souls. But what is this way? I'm so glad that Jesus came out with a confession when he says in John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus confessed that he is the way. But I want to know, Jesus, how are you? How are you the way? How are you this road? How are you this method? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. I hope this is not too much Bible for you this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to look at verses number 19 through 20. And after we lay this foundation here, I'm trying to hustle on to my conclusion. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Jesus says, I am the way. But I want you to know how he is the way. He says, I'm the way by the veil, which is my flesh. I'm the way by the blood that was shed. And through my blood and through my flesh, you have entrance into a new and living way. Well, I still haven't told you what the way is, but I want you to know that how we get there is by the blood and the flesh of Jesus Christ. Well, then I got to ask, how can we get that flesh and blood? Well, Jesus, I'm going to just tell you that the way is the church. The way is the church. Because Jesus says that the way you get into this new and living way is by my flesh and by my blood. Well, somewhere I read that his church is his body, and his body is the church, that he shed his precious blood for the church. Oh my goodness. I know you say you need to put a little more scripture on that. That's all right. I got more for you. Go to Acts chapter 9. Go to Acts chapter 9. Go to Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1. And I want to show you what Saul was doing. This is before he was proclaiming the way. Before he started teaching the way, he was persecuting the way. Watch now. And Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughters against, I want you to underscore, the disciples of the Lord. He is breathing out threatenings and slaughters against who? The disciples, huh? All right, say it like you know it. You can read it up there. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to the... Now, the people, oh, I already give it to you, but the way is made up of, verse number one says, disciples of the Lord. The way in verse number two is made up of men or women. That lets me know that it can't be nothing else but the church of the Lord Jesus. The way is, because watch now, as Paul in verse number three, the Bible says verse number three of Acts 9, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, did we not just see that though Saul was breathing threats and havoc against those who were what? Disciples of the Lord. He was persecuting those of this way, men and women. But when he is stopped on the Damascus road, a voice says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Watch what he says. Saul wanted to know who the me behind the voice was. And he says, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. But I thought Saul was persecuting the disciples of the Lord. I thought Saul was persecuting men and women of this way. But when Jesus confronted him, he wanted him to know that those of this way, those men and women, those disciples of the Lord, that's me. He wanted them to know, that's me. We are the way. If anybody is going to know the way, we got to be men and women of the way, the disciples of the Lord are the way. The way of what? Salvation. Now I think we need to define what salvation is. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is preservation. Salvation is restoration. In other words, we are the method by which men are preserved, delivered, and restored. Nobody is going to do it except the people of the way. When Moses was at the Red Sea, and you remember he stood on the banks of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was approaching. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What are you going to see, children of Israel? You're going to see how God delivers you. You're going to see how God preserves you. And you're going to see how God restored you. When the sea opened up, a wind blew all night long. But while the wind was blowing, there was a cloud behind them that preserved them from Pharaoh. They could not pass to. So now, as they begin to walk through the Red Sea on dry land, they kept on going. And then Pharaoh's army came up behind them even while they were going through the Red Sea on dry land. I'm getting too happy. Oh, and I ain't even got to my next point. But when the children of Israel made it across, that was deliverance from Egypt. It was preservation because he closed it up so that they couldn't. He said, you ain't never gonna see. He was preserving them. And then he brought them out in order that they might worship him. That was restoration. And I'm here to tell us that we, as people of the way, have to show the world how they get delivered, how they are preserved, how they are restored. And I just want us to know that Jesus says that you are and I all the way. And we need to ask, am I on the right road? Am I in that way that Jesus established and purchased with his blood, that Saul persecuted, that am I in this way? Now, that's the question that we all have to ask. But then I want us to know that as servants of God, we must show the way. In order for us to show the way, we got to know what it means to show. Showing is not about vision. It's about communication. I put it to you this way. Have you ever struggled with math and you couldn't get integers and whole numbers and rational numbers, and the teacher was showing you on the board, writing it up, but even though she was showing you, you didn't see it. You couldn't understand how 2x plus y equals. But after a while, she kept on communicating, educating, demonstrating, declaring. And you sat in class one day and said, I see it now. Wasn't nothing wrong with your vision. We, as the people of God, are to be involved
in showing. That means we got to proclaim it. We got to declare it. We got to tell it. We got to openly and aloud say it. I know you a good example. And there ain't never been a person at your job like you. Everybody just says, oh, such a good worker. But people will never be saved by them seeing you if we don't open our mouths and communicate what God's will is. And I'm just afraid, you know, we do a lot of good things. We got a lot of good ministries. We're doing a lot of good deeds, but are we showing? Are we communicating the will of Almighty? Are we telling folk how they must be saved? Are we sharing with people the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, I don't have time. But this word show is found in Acts 4 and verse number 2, where it talked about that the disciples taught and preached through Jesus. Showing involves preaching through Jesus. It in Acts 13:5, the same word is used as it relates to preaching the word of God. Acts 13:38, and you're just going to have to write these down and trust me on it, but it involves telling folk about the forgiveness of sin. Acts 17:23, it involves the reality of God. In other words, we got to show folk through Jesus how they can be saved, how they get the forgiveness of sin. That's our job. And I'm going to have to stop. But I noticed that that woman kept on every day saying, these men show us the way of salvation. Every day she kept crying after him, after them, and Paul was grieved. I had to ask, how could a person who is telling the truth grieve the man of God who is sharing the truth? Well, she was involved in the wrong occupation. She was possessed with the wrong spirit. Everything that guided her was for a selfish motive to promote her soothsaying business. So the lesson I get from that is that we must have the right spirit guiding and directing us. Sometimes when we tell the truth, if we don't have the right spirit and the right motive, we perhaps shouldn't be talking. See, the spirit of divination in her was a devilish spirit. See, and I just got to be honest, it's kind of hard when you got a video of yourself twerking that you posted up. Yeah, on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. Everybody seeing you.
And I just don't believe
that that spirit comes from God.
All right.
And so we got to understand. See, it's hard. It's hard to convert folk and get them. Well, you know, depending on the motive now. When you've been clubbing right alongside of them, both of y'all dropping, passing, puffing, then you want to talk about you got to be.
I'm going to stop. You know, our society is so caught up in showing. Soon as somebody do something, we took a picture, we posted it up. We went and wrote a post. But I'm just saying to us as children of God, we ought to have that same kind of zeal.
Amen.
As it relates to sharing the message of Christ.
Okay.
Post, take a selfie.
Yeah.
In church.
Yeah.
Snapchat.
Yeah.
In Bible class, and the lesson is on.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
We're asking you to be involved. We're going to have this class. We want everybody to participate. I know you got other things, and I have other things we could do. But let's give the Bible class hour. Our undivided attention. So that when we leave here, we can feel more confident about showing folk the way to salvation. We can leave here being better people. You know, today is September the 11th. This is a day America mourns because of the loss of hundreds of lives at the Twin Towers in New York and the field in Pennsylvania, the Pentagon in D.C., but if I learned anything from September the 11th, it's the reality and the fact that we don't know what's on tomorrow. I went to Kmart to buy something and heard on my radio that a plane had crashed into one of the Twin Towers. Turned around, came home, turned on the television, and I saw it for myself, the second plane hit. And I got magazine clippings showing people jumping out of buildings because they were so afraid of the fire that they would rather just jump. And I'm saying to myself, if there's anything we learn, life is but a vapor. Peers for a little while. We never know what tomorrow may bring. You got to understand that there's evil in the world. And they could care less. They could care less. But because men are dying, we have the obligation to share the truth with them. If you're here, you're not a child of God, you need to get in the way of salvation. That is the church that Jesus died for. That is the one he came down and established that bears his name. You need to be a member
of that church, because it is God's way to salvation. If you're here and you're a child of God, but you know you haven't been showing the way, you've been showing other ways, decide, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to make a change and start telling people about the will of God. If you're here, you stand subject to the heavens invitation. We ask that you come repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being buried in water for the remission of sin. And when you get up out of that watery grave, all of your sins will have been washed away. You've been added to the way among those who have been numbered in God's kingdom, whom God has saved. And you can go on your way rejoicing. If you're here, you stand subject to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed, oh, in the blood? So cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?